my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
It's showtime.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the VHS Strikes Back. I am one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to the VHS Strikes Back, the show where we dust off the old video player and go on a nostalgic journey to look at the good and the bad movies of yesteryear. Now, Chris, what are we going to review this week?
Well, Dave, our good friend and patron Helen has picked a movie I think we're going to have a bit of a therapy session on today, Dave. This is from 1989. It stars Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner with Danny DeVito as the director stroke narrator of the movie, Dave. This one is War of the Roses. So, have you seen this one before, Dave?
I have seen this one, and we did Romance in the Stone not so long ago, didn't we? I think that was this year, and absolutely loved that movie. Liked, I would say, the second one, but I probably remember the second one more for Billy Ocean's The Going Gets Tough. You know, that was quite big at the time, wasn't it? And then this one was like almost the third Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner part of the trilogy. So I think I remember watching it, and it was kind of okay. Out of those three, it was the least favourite, I would say, out of it. I thought there was some funny little moments that I remembered, like when he's pissing in the fish and stuff, and like just the fact that they're arguing with each other. She gives him a good old punch in the face as well. Always funny when you're a kid, innit? And so, yeah, I remember liking it without particularly loving it. And to be honest, it would have been a long, long time before I got to this one. Before I even thought of this one, you know, if I was doing all the picking, say. And so I'm really, really glad Helen chose this one. And well, it's probably obvious to you why. I'm sure we'll get into it. But Chris, how about yourself?
Yeah, so I have definitely seen this before once, Dave, definitely. And it must be probably 30 years ago. I remember, I keep going back to it, though, the old classic, you know, got a year of VHS rentals, and this is one of them my nan and granddad got out, and I think they'd watched it, and I came round and watched it again. I think they quite enjoyed it. They were happily married, as far as I know, Dave, but I'm sure that there was a few things resonated with them as a couple. So, and I did have a thing for Kathleen Turner, I must admit. So I think it was one of them, as a 13, 14-year-old lad, I probably watched it early 90s. So it wasn't my Lauren Avedon sweet spot, Dave, or my action movie sweet spot, but it was one of the movies, I do remember it. And I did also think, I think going into this, I was thinking, is this like a continuation of the, you know, Romance in the Stone, Duel of the Nine? It's not. It's obviously just the same three actors, really, and who have chemistry. You know, Danny DeVito's more a peripheral figure. There's a chemistry between Kathleen Turner and Michael Douglas, isn't there? And then Danny DeVito, it seems to all work. So, yeah, so I was really, I was looking forward to watching this, but also thinking, this isn't my type of film, really, because it's a sort of comedy and it's not got the action in it. But interesting to see, because it has all that sort of late 80s DNA that I quite liked in some of the other comedy stroke movies that you wouldn't think I liked.
Yeah, and I didn't realise, obviously, when watching it the first time, because you didn't have things like IMDb there. You just basically had the back of the video case to look at and whatever. But yeah, this is based on a novel, this. So, novel came out in 81, I think it was. Same title, War of the Roses. And so, yeah, I feel like this is, Chris, I'll put my cards on the table now. I almost feel like this movie was made for me to rewatch it at this point in my life.
I know it's. I wasn't poking fun, Dave, at your own personal circumstances, but I was fucking pissing myself. Not that. I'm really going to fucking. You're going to virtual dig punch me down the phone. Yeah, you're going to punch me down the phone, down the headset. But what I mean is, I had a feeling, and being, you know, as you're one of your closest friends, friends and knowing sort of the background, thinking, I think Dave's going to come out of this feeling really relieved and like it's a therapy session, because it's I know it's pumped up to 100, but I know other people who've been through this with marriage and relationship breakups, and it does get that petty and that silly and that. And even when you're married to somebody, we're celebrating 25 years next year, Dave, we can both be as petty as we fucking need to be, Dave, to win an argument or to shut the other one up. So I think anybody who's in any sort of relationship, we've all been there. Maybe not fucking swinging from a chandelier or, you know, wanting to fucking run him over in a monster truck. However, I can get the anger side of it. And I'm not really one who gets angry, Dave. That's Samantha. But I'm the smart ass with the wisecracks, which doesn't shock anybody with that revelation, Dave.
Well, with that, Chris, should we get into our trailer?
Let's go.
This is the most romantic day of my whole life.
This is the story we're going to tell our grandchildren.
Barbara and Oliver Rose.
Wait a minute. Wait. What's your name?
Barbara!
They met great.
I love rain.
God, I love it too.
They agreed on that.
Are you happy?
I'm more than happy. I'm married.
This house is so beautiful. And we live here.
House, car, boy, girl, puppy, kitty. The poor bastard's never had a chance.
Your crystal is lovely.
Baccarat.
I didn't know anything about this before I met Oliver. My mother bought her glasses at the A&P, you know, the kind with the raised...
It always starts with the little things.
And that phony laugh.
All right, maybe overdid it. Let me have it.
If love is blind,
now I got you.
Marriage is like having a stroke.
When I watch you eat, when I look at you lately, I just want to smash your face in.
Smash my face.
I want a divorce.
You can't have one.
When a couple starts keeping score, there is no winning. It's only degrees of losing.
I am the one who found this house. I bought everything in it.
With my money. It's a lot easier to spend than it is to make it, honey bun.
You might not have made it if not for me, sweet cakes.
Never underestimate her as an adversary. Don't even talk to her,
bitch.
Scum.
Filth. The yellow areas are mine. The red areas are hers.
This seems rational to you both?
I got more square footage.
These people are going to hurt each other.
Get out of the car, hon.
And when trouble begins, it comes at you from directions you'd never expect.
We haven't passed any point of no return.
I have.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were Barbara.
Michael Douglas.
Nobody who makes pate this good can be all bad.
Kathleen Turner.
That depends on what the pate is made of.
And Danny DeVito.
Sounds like a fairy tale, doesn't it?
The War of the Roses, directed by Danny DeVito. Coming this Christmas.
Lawyer Gavin D'Amato is in his office discussing a divorce case with a client. Noticing the man's determination to divorce his wife, Gavin decides to tell him the story of one of his previous clients, a personal friend of his. I'm not going to go further into it. Now, Chris, what do you reckon to the opening of this movie?
Well, Dave, it's interesting narration there by Mr. DeVito, but did you notice who the client was, Dave? He was
it's
talking
the guy
to.
Who does the voices, isn't it? For
yeah, Homer. Yeah, Dan Castellaneta, whatever he's called. Yeah,
I did read his name, but I wasn't going to pronounce
it. Something like that. Probably fucking absolutely crucified him. But yeah, I knew straight away. I thought, that's him. He does Homer and all some of the other characters. It's interesting, isn't it? Because he starts talking, doesn't he, Dan DeVito's character, and he's like, I'm on $450 an hour and all this. And he goes, and when someone says it, Gavin, he's calling it. Someone who charges that speech, you need to listen to him. And he goes through this whole thing, and he's almost like trying to, this could be one of his clients, but he's sort of like trying to talk him out of it, isn't he, really? You know, trying to say, like, why don't you try and work at it? But what's interesting, right, at the start is fucking Michael Douglas. They've gone full Christian Bale, haven't they? The wig. Yeah. That she goes to this flea market, doesn't she? In this little sort of fishing village or whatever it is, and they're both at like an auction, aren't they? And they're auctioning for literally nothing. But like, honestly, it's not as bad as Christian Bale just put your hair down and, you know, and he's suddenly in his teens. But it doesn't suit Michael Douglas, even though he always has a full head of hair, doesn't he? And he always looks pretty slick and yeah, cool, you know. But it just doesn't, that doesn't get me. But what does get me, Dave, and did prick my interest up, Dave, was the wet t-shirt competition that happened after she bought this stuff. Yeah. Any thoughts on that, Dave?
Well, my thoughts went to you, which is very fucking weird. We've been doing this podcast for so long now. And honestly, she's running along. She's in a white shirt. She's got, you know, her arms up in the air, clearly no bra on. And I thought, yeah, I bet. I literally thought of you and I thought, oh, I bet Chris appreciates this scene.
My reputation precedes me, David. Yes. I like the
Again,
legs
it's
bit.
It's another pre kind of Me Too movement, isn't it, really? I mean, it's just, I don't know what to say. Just very exploitative. I mean, then she shows the old gymnast trick, doesn't she?
Yeah, and I've got a story, Dave. I'm quite apt that the, as we're recording this, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is on, but the legs thing, Dave, because she's a gymnast and she does, obviously it's not her, but this woman does this whole splits thing, doesn't she? Michael Douglas is just like, yeah, okay, yeah. I want to marry this woman. But we went to see a show in Vegas in 2013 called The Peep Show, and it's Ice-T's wife, Coco, and Sam's like, was watching like the at-home Playboy, Hugh Hefner had a reality show, and I used to watch it with her, and there was a couple of the girls on there, and Coco took over from this other woman who was on it, Holly, who was originally from the Playboy Mansion, and that one, you know, one of Hef's fucking dodgy wives, Dave, mm-hmm. and he had about three or four women around him. And she said, I want to go and see the show, like Hollywood. I'm like, I don't want to go and see it. And she's like, oh, I want to go and see it. Come on, let's go and see it. So we got vouchers, 2-for-1. We went for this buffet, and we get, I think I've told it, may have told this on the podcast, but it gets in there, and Dave, it's just a fucking striptease fucking show. And I mean, like, the women are just down to thongs. And I'm like, oh, well, this is fucking excellent. Within a minute, they've got no clothes on. They're rifing around in a fucking bath. Right, but there was a scene where this girl come out, and she was tanned up, bronze, and she just looked like a, she had legs like a gymnast, but I can't explain it. And I know this isn't being a pervy or anything. They were the sexiest legs I've ever seen. Even Sam's like putting a hand about over my face going, her legs are unbelievable. She just looked so toned and fit. But you know when you like you're doing that cartoon meme where your jaw is on the floor and you're like,
like the wolf.
That could possibly cartoon. That's what I'm thinking of the wolf. You know, I'm thinking that is probably the most beautiful woman I've ever seen, other than my wife, of course, Dave. But then the next minute this scene was, we need three contestants out of the crowd. And one of the girls, who's got nothing on but thong, comes to me, Dave, literally. But then this guy comes across with beers, and she sort of bangs into him. And he's there, and he's about mid-40s, grey hair, bit of a beard and shit. And she bangs into him, and they go, oh, I'm so sorry, get this guy, get him on the stage. Didn't realise, Dave, he was one of the fucking dancers, wasn't he? Absolutely cat my pants, thinking, I am not getting on the stage here with these girls rifing around me. Certainly not my wife's here. But I wouldn't have anyway, I'd have bottled it. But yeah, it was one of them daft things. But yeah, that scene when she does the legs thing, getting back to it, it was one of them, and I was like, ah, yeah, muscly legs, yeah, which are used throughout the movie as a bit of a weapon by a character, yeah. Dave. Yeah, I think that's why I may have liked Kathleen Turner. Maybe some weird gym fetish that I've got, Dave, about like a nice set of thighs. Muscly thighs, I don't know. Oh, Dave, anyway, before we carry on, I've got to tell you another thing very quickly, and it is in relation to the podcast. So on the reality podcast, over on Chris and Dave's reality, you know, and I always get it wrong, TV, reality TV podcast, we've got
TV
like a chat
reality
on Facebook.
Cast.
That one as well. It's always say it wrong anyway. We've only been doing it for
like
five.
700 episodes or something.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. Million downloads. But anyway, we've got a chat on Facebook, haven't we? So we've got like different shows now. It's really good. You can filter. So we've got like Big Brother, Love Island. And I'm talking last night to Lorraine, who's one of our you know, patrons on here. She's followed the podcast on the CD. And we were talking about different things. And she just put a comment about, yeah, well, we know you, Chris. You love a good... And she put danger. And then she put wank, but with the thing, you know, the A missing. And I'm like, oh, You I forgot you listened to our other podcast, and she's laughing, going, I'm thinking my reputation precedes me. I forgot there's a bit of cross contamination on the podcast, Dave. You know, crossover, like laughing. I was like, maybe Lorraine's even listened to American Pie and all the others, Dave. Yeah. But there you go. You know, that's our second most.
One of the many others where you mentioned it.
Yeah. Spider Dan dines off all that, I think, doesn't he? But I love it. But yeah, you know, that's our second most listened to episode, that, funny enough, American Pie. First is Rocky IV, Dave, and then second is the American Pie one. Probably because we have promoted that one across both podcasts, funny enough.
True. But anyway. I think we mentioned that one on, I think it was like one of the Love Island popular seasons, wasn't it? But yeah, Chris, I just have to say, you're saying about getting pulled out of the crowd there and bottling it. I remember being in Amsterdam, right? And this was pre-marriage, so there was the girlfriend, and a bit hammered. And we're like, you know, should we go to the red light district? Yeah, it's a bit of fun, innit? It's a weird fucking thing with Amsterdam, isn't it? It's like, just very weird. You're like, oh, look at the people in the windows and stuff, and oh, should we go to a coffee shop? So, went old David Brent there, didn't I? So we end up going to this place called, I think it was the Banana Club or something. And, you know, you're sat around, sat in the crowd. Chris, I must have been about 22, 23 or something like that at the time. So fairly young, a bit green. I don't think I was the most streetwise early 20s person out there. So, you know, you go and sit in the little seats. Well, if that was now, Chris, first of all, I'd be checking the seats before I sat down. But there's none of that. Just sit down. Yeah, in the aisle seat, Chris. A fucking knobhead, right? Just sit there in the aisle seat. And then there's various shows. What I seem to remember is there's fucking Rammstein, which are this fucking heavy metal, industrial metal German band. You've just got these two people coming in on roller skates and then going at it. But then there was this rather large lady comes out with a whole bunch of bananas. And she's looking for volunteers for the crowd. And honestly, she's walking up and down the aisle. I'm right there on the fucking aisle seat. And I am literally shitting it. I think, just thinking back to it now, I'm borderline having a heart attack. Just thinking of the fear. And she obviously could see that, you know, I mean, it's dark, but she could probably see the fucking fear and the fact that I was just a young lad, like a bit pissed, that just there with my girlfriend for a bit of fun and that. And she just like slaps a fucking hand down on my leg, and honestly, like I say, my fucking heart was going like a fucking hummingbird. But then fortunately for me, she did walk past and she picked someone else out of the crowd. But fucking hell, I tell you, I don't know if I've ever shit it as much in my life as that moment there. Stick me in a fucking shark tank, probably wouldn't be any more. I would obviously be panicking and shitting myself and screaming so there's no sound. But that was pretty much me in that club.
Oh, that's the worst ever when stuff like that happens as well. You know, when you're like, please don't get me up, please don't get me up. Oh, they're getting me up, yeah. I'd be worried about fucking me looking like I'd like a 1-inch cock, Dave, which is not, you know, I'd be fucking panicking. You'd probably shrivel up.
What if you get a boner up there?
I know, it's fucking... I remember... I'm going to tell a story. This is fucking bad, this. And Sam will never listen to his podcast, thank God, Dave. But I remember...
Yeah, but we've just established other people do. She does listen to the reality one and follow the Facebook group and
stuff.
Yeah,
she doesn't listen to this one, I hope. No, this isn't to shine... I wouldn't shine her in a bad light, but this is for me. But so when we were younger... It's quite a dingy story, but... We were trying for a baby and we didn't, and we ended up going on like the IVF list, and we were trying and we had to go. But the thing was, I think I've told a few stories about this on the podcast, but like it was always like Paul Sam had to do all the prodding, probing, everything. And I've told you the story about the beads, Anna, which I thought they were going to put on my fucking Japs eye and all that. Right? It's just true. But there was another time where they did the same thing and they're like, Mr. Phelps, can we just check your testes? And this was after this incident. So I was sort of becoming a bit of a, you know, a bit of an expert at knowing that, even though it was Sam's appointment, but it was for both of us, quite rightly, that there may be a bit of fucking prodding and probing on me. And there was a bit where there was about three of these student nurses come in. They were all girls. And they were, honestly, Dave, I just dropped my pants. And I was like, fucking hell. And then Sam said afterwards, she went, I can't believe you didn't get a fucking hard on. I went, are you fucking for real? I said, I've got these people there prodding and probing me. I said, I said, you're there anyway. I said, I wouldn't do, you know, I said, you'd have fucking, she'd have slapped me one day, if you know what I mean. She went, yeah, but it must be hard for you when you want that fucking hard.
The old bald Avenger. Yeah.
I said, it wasn't that hard. Jesus, I'm fucking glad. That's that ultimate fear, isn't it? You're in some sort of weird situation and then you get a fucking lob on. Oh my God. And I remember looking at it going, are you for real? Like, but yeah.
But I mean, again, not so much in your 20s, but definitely when you're kind of mid to late teens. I mean, you can be just thinking about something utterly mundane. There isn't a one-to-one correlation between getting aroused and, you know, the old bald Avenger popping out. You know, that in your 20s, though, that experience is still quite fresh in your mind, isn't it? So, yeah, getting the old bono at inappropriate times is definite fear.
Yeah. It's fucking weird, isn't it? No, I don't want that fucking blood rushing to that one. No.
Yeah.
Fucking brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
But Chris, I've dropped it a couple of times there. I mean, there's a line in here because, you know, after the whole, they meet together, our main kind of ends up getting married couple, Oliver and Barbara, you know, they find out that Barbara is multi-orgasmic, apparently, and then she refers to his bald Avenger. And I'm just like, oh, fucking hell. It's just a terrible, terrible line. Would anyone on this planet actually say that?
No. No. I do think in the context, I know we've gone off on a tangent, it's my fault more than anything, but I do think that the idea of this and the setup, and I did read in the trivia, I'm sure you have, Dave, that in Germany they reference this movie, don't they, for divorces and stuff. They actually reference someone like that.
Really?
Yeah. It's like a bit of a culture thing, I think. Just reading over, like I said, I've only read it briefly, but I do think that, like, the idea of them being in love, and I think with the movie, even though it's not my sort of movie, I think Helen's picked a good discussion point, is that little annoyances come in, don't they, in the relationship. They're all loving each other. They can't wait to rip each other's clothes off. They've got this lovely thingy. And then I think the first cracks are all to do with, like, when he's having that dinner party and she's just his wife, but she's telling, like, a very sort of mundane story that's relevant. Not mundane, but it's mundane for him because he wants to talk business. He wants to impress. And she's talking about something that's going on in the house because she's pretty much a housewife, isn't she, and all this, and you can see he's getting pissed off, and he cuts across her, and then it's the cracks of the little things, and I'm thinking, wow, this is actually, they've actually got, I think they carry that off to a T, the little things that piss you off about your partner, Dave. I think that, and then it snowballs and escalates, doesn't it? But I do like that little slow build up. I mean, it's a 2-hour movie, but it does take a good 45 minutes to get to that point, but I think it works quite well in the context of what they're trying to show.
Yeah, honestly, Chris, I can see a lot of people watching this and thinking, okay, it's a comedy, but it's not really that funny. But it's supposed to be a black comedy, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's not just a straight up goofball spoof or anything. Honestly, I almost feel like this should be mandatory fucking viewing. Not for divorce, but for, like, people who, you know, young couples who want to get married. Because, honestly, I did a lot of reflection in the last few years, and one of the problems I thought is, actually, you know what, it's really fucking hard, I think, just fundamentally, to, you know, meet someone, fall in love and whatever, then, you know, have one or more kids, and then stay absolutely together, you know, throughout your life journey. and have the same goals, the same aspirations. I think it's just fundamentally hard. And I think, you know, part of the church and, you know, religion and whatever and society pressures, you know, keep a lot of couples together. But actually, you see it now, you know, divorce rates are still going up and up, aren't they? They never drop.
Yeah.
Year on year, there's always more divorces this year than there were last year. And so I just think, fucking hell, if you watch this, you should know that there are multiple journeys, you know, and everyone's case is a little bit unique, the solicitor used to say to me. But some of the macro things that are going on in this movie, I recognize it completely, you know. And I always say that I'll be telling my kids, you know, think very hard about how you divvy up, you know, the responsibilities if you're going to bring kids into the world. So I honestly felt that, you know, me being the main breadwinner and, you know, taking on that side of the partnership, if you like, it just created this massive imbalance. And so I think there are a few moments where you see the cracks coming in, you know. So when the kids, she's basically, Barbara's feeding the kids sugar because she says, oh, you know, if you deprive them of it, you know, they get fat, you know, when they're older. And of course, he doesn't agree with it. And then you fast forward and the kids are fat, aren't they? You know,
yeah.
So he was right there. So again, I think a lot of the times in this, I think Oliver is played off to be the bigger douchebag, you know, out the two. But I don't think either of them are perfect. You know, there's no single protagonist that you like empathizing with. I think it's just really, really cleverly done where, you know, you see these cracks are forming. They're not really addressed properly. And yeah, just this kind of massive imbalance. And it's fine when the kids are younger and they're very dependent on you, and then you're basically focusing on the kids, you don't focus on each other, that sort of stops. But then you're busy as fuck, and she's got a project with the house and stuff. But then the change is, you know, kids are a bit older, they're less dependent, you've not got a project, which is the house, to keep your mind occupied. And then you approach that time in life, and then you're just like, right, is this it? Is this life now? What the fuck? What am I doing? And so for me, it's quite a natural thing. And like I say, I'm sure lots of people get to that point, you know, in different ways. But yeah, I think this should be mandatory viewing.
Yeah. I agree, and I think looking from the other side, obviously, I'm saying like we're 25 years next year, but it's weird because we have friends, Dave, who quite a few friends who are still together, you know, been together as long as me and Sam, or, you know, a couple of years things, but you get with them, and we don't spend as lot of time with them as we used to, because they literally, like, one of them wants to divorce the other one, and we get caught up in it. So the guy ends up with me, the lady ends up with Sam, Sam's friend, my friend, and you just, it's the same conversation over and over. And then, but on Facebook, they are the greatest couple you've ever seen. But, you know, like the Facebook, we all do it, don't we? Put the Facebook picture on, what a great picture. And then I've done it, and then the next bit will go, oh, actually, he was a big fucking punch up this family do, or whatever. I've had loads of times with my family, looks like they're all happy. And next minute, God.
Right. So I won't be, I'll be slightly generic. Well, I remember it well because you and I were recording, and then you had to speed off to you know, a bit of a situation down at the club. And then we were catching up the next day, and it was all incredibly messy. It sounded really stressful, you know, and it was all fucking kicking off. So you told me all of this. And then I go onto Facebook, and Sam's there, like, oh, I had a great day with the girls. And a Prosecco brunch or whatever.
That's what it was. Fucking Prosecco brunch. I dropped her off at 12:15. By 2:30, I'm running out the house with my shorts on, with no fucking gear on, trainers on, thinking I'm going to be fighting all the doormen at this club. And the way she made it out, that she'd been attacked. And then when the truth be told, Dave, the fucking Prosecco got the better of them all, I think. That's all I'm going to say. I had police fucking telling them off. I pulled up. They were telling me not to get involved. I just wanted to get them in the car. A friend was crying because she said she's going to get arrested and get a criminal record because she was that wasted. 2 hours later, and I went, did he get your name? No. Well, how the fuck are they going to give you, you know, charge you with anything? You know, when you're driving home, like, I just need to. And then my dear wife slept then, Dave, for 14 hours, Dave. She was tucked up in bed by about 3:30. And that's just something with her friends. But yeah, there's been plenty of family ones. But yes, it's interesting because there's a dynamic watching this from the outside in. There's plenty of things I can relate to, and I'm sure anybody who's listening and has married or has been in a relationship will understand these things can manifest, and they still do with us. You'll have your little spats and that, but I always feel like, because we had Jordan quite early, we're quite lucky because she's an adult, we can explore the world, we can do things, you know. And we me and Sam's my fucking best mate, no offense to you, Dave, but you know, you're still my best mate, but you know, she's my best female friend. But she is, because we won't be together like that, you know. We argue and we'll disagree, and I'm always in the wrong, Dave, but you know, that's just life. But no, we enjoy each other's company, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to a fancy dress this evening as we record this, and I'm going as Vincent Vega, which you'll probably see before the podcast comes out, definitely, and she's going as Mia Wallace. But we were dancing last night, Dave. We had a few drinks, but we were trying to get the dance, and you know how stiff I am at dancing. But I've got Vincent off to a tee, actually, Dave, but there'll be a point tonight where we'll try it, we'll probably fail, and you know, we might even end up doing it. But there's just little things like that we enjoy doing, you know, daft things together and stuff like that. So, but of just being in each other's company. But there's always things that manifest, and watching this is brilliant, because I do think, Sam, don't watch any of this, because she'd be like, that's what you do, you know, and all this, like, so you know, it ain't always, you know, happiness and you know, drinking Prosecco all the time. Life gets in the way of a lot of things, doesn't it? But if it's just a strange movie that is supposed to be funny, but I must admit, as much as I'm not a massive fan of the some bits of the movie, I do think there's a lot to take away where you get thinking and thinking, God, these things do snowball and manifest. So when I'm telling you in the new year that we're not celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary next year, Dave, I'm going to blame this movie. Yeah.
But you two, and again, just because I'm saying it's incredibly hard, I'm not saying it's impossible, and some people do it. But, you know, I know couples, like, I talked about society and like religious pressures to stay together as man and wife, and like there's less today than there used to be, but you know, it used to be a massive stigma about divorce, and I still think there is a little bit of one. But also just the financial pressures. I mean, ultimately, you know, if finance wasn't a thing, they wouldn't be asked about the house.
Yeah.
You know, and I know it's a great house, but it's a fucking house at the end of the day. And but you know, worth a fucking lot of money. And so I would say, in my situation as well, it was the finances where things got really fucking bitter and like territorial and nasty.
Yeah,
you know, because you can both agree that fucking hell, yeah, definitely be happier without, you know, each other. Actually, that sounds fucking great. But then, you know, actually divvying things up, and because here's how I see it, right? In a marriage with kids, there is fundamentally more work to be done, you know, to maintain, you know, to keep money flowing into the house, to keep on top of everything, all the housework you've got, all the, you know, bringing up the kids, you know, so early on when they're babies, they're obviously, you know, they're not doing much, but, you know, you need to make sure they're fed and everything changed, you know, and then you're teaching them stuff, you know, and introducing them to school when they're older. There's just fundamentally more work than there is for than two people. Yeah. And I think when you had kind of the family support structure network, you know, if you're lucky enough to kind of have that, then then you've got that kind of buffer. And also, you know, if the families are talking, they can advise you, you know, if things start to go off in the wrong way, you know, and, you know, give a bit of perspective from the older generation, you know, this is how we handled it or whatever. But if that's not there, if you don't really have that, then you're always going to be doing more work than just for one person, I think. And so every person in that situation thinks, well, I'm doing more than my fair share, you know, yeah, whether you're the whichever half of the relationship you are. So that's kind of how I see it now. And that's kind of what I was taking from this movie as well, is, you know, like I say, Oliver's played off as a bit of a tool most of the time, but he thinks like, well, if he isn't doing what he's doing, if he isn't working his ass off and, like, sucking up, I mean, the fucking laugh, you know, the fake laugh to his bosses.
Oh, it's brilliant.
You know, is what just one of the things that irritates her about him. But he's got to do that. What's he going to do? He's not going to change the whole system. So he's got to, like, you know, build relationships with people that he wouldn't necessarily, you know, left to his own devices, and kind of, you know, if work wasn't a thing, then he probably wouldn't hang out with these people. But they're his bosses, so he has to build those relationships, and that puts money into the bank account, which gives you the privilege of buying a house like that. I mean, it's a fucking lovely house.
Oh, beautiful, yeah.
But all the other things, like the kids want for nothing, you know, so he thinks he's done, you know, the lion's share of it, whereas she's put the actual care and attention. She's thought about, you know, all of the different decorations in the house, how it looks and everything. She's poured her heart and soul into that place as well. So she's equally thinking, well, I've done the majority of this. And they're kind of both right, you know, but, you know, what they're failing to do is just understand each other's perspective.
Yeah, and it's true, isn't it? Because, like, when it gets, like, slapstick and just becomes ridiculous, and it just it escalates, doesn't it? I mean, Michael Douglas, he's very dismissive of it, isn't he? Like you say, he thinks he's done right and all this stuff, but he sort of puts her down all the time, and this is, like, it cracks. But when I loved the bit with the monster truck, Dave, and he's got that little Morgan, yeah, and she bought, it's a Morgan, is it? It's a Morgan. She buys it, doesn't she, at the start when there's snow and everything and all that, and he's over the moon because they're having a little bit of tete-a-tete then. And then he's like, oh, you know, and he's hugging her and he's like, thank you so much. And he gets cat. But when she pulls the monster truck out, Dave, I've got to say, she's some fucking driver, this woman. Kathleen Turner's an amazing fucking driver, isn't she? I mean, the way she spins that truck, and I used to love watching a bit of Bigfoot in, like, the late 80s, early 90s, all of the monster trucks massive, didn't it, in the UK? But, yeah, it's just silly because you've got, like, all the guests watching them, haven't you? And it descends into sort of, like, cartoon level, like Tom and Jerry level of just silliness, doesn't it? Like, they're just trying to one-up and shit. When Michael Douglas, he's minging when he's fucking getting, like, a greenie up in here and all that when she's having that, oh, it's fucking ringing, isn't it? But it's all that pettiness and nastiness. It's just enraged him, and then it becomes like a war game type thing, doesn't it? Like, she's hiding in the rafters and he's, oh, it's good, but it's just silly. And I don't think there's any bit in the movie where I really laughed. I just like the dynamic of them being two bitter people who loved each other, had a family, and now fucking hate each other. And like you said, you look at 2023, there is a lot of people across the UK, and I'm just using the UK as an example, who are together. And I know a friend of mine is with a lady who still lives in the same house with her husband, who she's divorced because they financially cannot afford to get together. He's in one room, she's in another, they're both with different partners, but they actually live together with the kids, which is a really strange dynamic. And I've known a few people who still do that because they just can't, they cannot, the price of living in 2023 or starting up on your own, even splitting a mortgage, and even splitting like a house proceeds years ago would have got you somewhere, maybe not as lavish as what you were in, but it would get you a flat, or it'd get you a bungalow, or it'd get you a two up, two down. You've got no chance now, have you? You're actually beholden to renting somewhere, which is extortionate. So I think this is almost, it sounds daft, but it's almost like it was made in 2023 because they don't want to be together, but it's just there's too much to lose in some respects. It's quite an interesting movie. I'd take more out of it than I thought I would, to be honest.
And I don't know if the author of the novel had been through divorce themselves, or, you know, they'd seen their parents go through this, maybe. But, yeah, they've definitely got the inside track of it. And, Chris, just as we were chatting there, you know, because we rarely listen to each other and surf the web most of the time. I was just Googling, right, divorce rates in the UK. The first thing that Google presents me with is an article from The Standard. I can't actually see a date on it. Which is annoying, so, but I'm going to assume it's fairly recent. And it says the divorce rate in the UK is estimated at 42%.
The hell?
42%.
Fucking hell.
And it's saying that it's increased in recent years. It's increased. It must have increased in every fucking year.
Yeah, that's fucking mad. That is unbelievable. And COVID would have definitely done that. Working from home, being in the same environment. Fucking hell. Imagine that, Dave. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But what a great... Not a great start, but what I mean is, for the context of watching this movie, and we've not done that on our usual... Yeah, it warms the heart, you know. But you know, our usual, like, the way we are with the movies, and we'll take the piss and with these stories. But I think what Helen's done is brought us a little bit more thinking with this week's episode of what we're... You know, we're going on a rabbit hole of, like, personal stuff, which I know I share too much, Chris. You know, inside voices sometimes, Chris. But in the same respect, I think it's just a fascinating movie that's, like... It's, what is it, 35 years old? And it's still relevant in... doesn't matter how long ago that is. You're still going to get them couples who split up, who are at the weddings of the kids, who fucking hate each other, don't they? You mention that person's name in their presence and they fucking sneer, don't they? Or they're like, you don't know the half of it. You know, I've heard all that. I'm sure you have, Dave, with couples. So this is just like that feeling most people have, but ramped up to like 100. I think it does deliver to a point. Like I say, I'm not a massive fan of the comedy side of it, and I think there's a lot of stuff that we could have done without of. But when they're actually just being horrible, nasty bastards to each other, it is quite funny to watch how it's escalated. This love has just deteriorated so much.
Yeah, and I think, like I say, I think because the author probably knows that, you know, it's the underlying to it, it's quite a serious thing, is it? I mean, divorce is fucking horrible. I wouldn't advise it for anyone. But, you know, I think they've probably got something to say on that front. And then,
yeah,
I don't know how it's come to be, but, you know, they've probably... In the novel, maybe, I don't even know if it's comedy itself, but I think the comedy is almost like 10% of it. You know, you could imagine this being an actual drama, and, you know, you wouldn't get the comedy bits, so you wouldn't need Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner. But, you know, again, it's just they were kind of box office at the time, weren't they? So, you know, you're sticking a bit more slapstick. You know, I mean, the thing with the monster truck is a bit silly, and, you know, the, like I say, as a kid, I laughed when she just punched him in the face and stuff. But I think it's more serious, and that's the thing with black comedies, isn't it? I don't think you're supposed to watch these and laugh out loud like it's Airplane or something. So it's a bit funny, and you're right. I think maybe if they'd have dialed the slapstick down a bit. And, you know, still had some things that were sort of mildly funny. I think you could still classify it as a comedy or you know, like drama/comedy. I think it would have been more fitting with the subject matter, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think ultimately when you get to like the end bit and you've got like them together in the house and then they end up on the chandelier, don't they? And it's a hell of a drop that day. I mean, they're talking and they meet an impasse, don't they, just before what happens. But it's the impasse of like there is still some sort of affection there, and like that sort of like, how have we got to this point? They're both bloody, they're both cut up, aren't they? They're both like physically and mentally drained, and then ultimately it isn't either of their doing. They basically die, don't they, which is really strange, like, to do it, but they just fall to the death. And obviously Danny DeVito comes in Gavin with the characters. I mean, it's a great story he's telling, obviously to Homer Simpson, but in the same respect, it's quite sad, really, I think, as well, at the end, because you're hoping they'll make it together, and then it says 20 years later, yeah. And they're both in a retirement thing, loving life, but no, ultimately, it's like, that's what killed him. Their love killed each other, so it's quite a really sad story, to be honest.
Yeah, and I guess it kind of had to end some way in tragedy, didn't it? Because,
yeah.
You know, he's trying to tell Homer, you know, that don't take divorce lightly. You know, this can go in a very negative way. And what I thought it was interesting about DeVito's character, you know, in the Romance in the Stone series, he was kind of, he's quite seedy, wasn't he? Slimy, yeah. Little grubby guy. Whereas here, you know, all right, we have the whole foot thing at the start, but he's actually a pretty stand-up guy, you
yeah.
know, at the time, and he's trying to give good advice and stuff, and, you know, Barbara puts it on the line for him there, and he sort of passes it up and everything, and then when Oliver tells him, oh, she's a gymnast, and you could see him staring off into the distance, like, wondering what might have happened.
Yeah.
But, I tell you what I didn't particularly like, Chris. You know, being an animal lover, you could see that, like, Barbara had the cat and, you know, Oliver had the dog, and there was almost a cold war, you know, in terms of how they would treat those animals. Now, Oliver killed the cat by mistake.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, he ran over it by mistake. He could have come clean about it, but he didn't, so, you know, she ended up looking for it, couldn't find it and whatever. But then she fucking kills the dog and minces it up in pate.
Yeah, I know. That's
fucking hell.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a little bit too far for me.
Yeah, yeah. It's not something you would see now, is it? And I don't know what the idea was behind that, because I'm sure that, is it PETA, or PETA, what they called in America? They'd have had something to say about that with the animals. There's no way, there's no way that didn't go unnoticed. Even in 1989, Dave, there was definitely people complaining about that. I know it's all for the movie, but it's supposed to be comedy, but yeah, it didn't sit with me, that.
Yeah, but if you think about it, like, most people treat the pets like their family.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So she just murdered this fucking dog.
Yeah.
And, like, fed it to him.
Yeah.
It's like, that is a darker part of it than anywhere else in the movie.
Yeah. And the thing is, obviously, it's to show the extreme that they both go into, aren't they? To just, you know, be horrible to each other.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it wasn't one of my favourites. So, anything else, Dave, before we get into the scores?
No, I think we should get into our final review.
Let's go. Oh, Helen, thank you for picking this. It's got quite serious in bits. Obviously, a couple of my stories were a bit, you know, the ball one and not getting a lob on a hospital day. But other than that, we're quite serious. So it's made me think, and it's an interesting movie. I would never have picked this. I probably never would have watched this, even if I'd seen it on TV, even though I've seen it before. But no, I did come away. I didn't like a lot of the movie, but the stuff about the relationships is totally relatable. And I think that's what made me sort of sit there and watch it. And I did watch it in one sitting as well, which is pretty good for me. It wasn't a Chris Phelps half an hour, oh god, right, let me go make a brew or do something and then come back. I actually watched it in one sitting, so no, I did enjoy it in parts, but I'm going to put it in Elm Street, I think, Dave. It's not amazing, but I just like the idea of how the relationship builds down the manifestation of these little tics and habits that we all have that can basically ruin your marriage or your relationship. So yeah, it come away with it thinking more than I should have, but I did enjoy it. So yeah, Elm Street for me, Dave.
And I can't believe I ever, these words are ever going to leave my mouth, but I think after, you know, being a bit serious this week, we need some fucking Lauren Avadon or something. So, but I think this is a weird one to score, right? Because I think I've loved kind of going back and watching this and kind of being part therapy as well, you know, it's just, it's one for the divorce crowd, Chris, because, you know, we're laughing in the aisles. You know, everyone else is like, yeah, it's all right. But no, it absolutely spoke to me, this movie. And I do think, look, it's not brilliant. I think objectively it's a bit weird. I think it goes on for quite a bit, you know, at the start when they're having this marriage, you know, and you know, they're getting together, I think, and then the sort of last third of it, that's when it gets all slapstick. And I just think objectively I could see why this wouldn't score that highly, and so might be, you know, an Elm Street. But no, I think for me, I'm putting it a bit higher. So it's Hill Valley for me. I think it's a really good one that I'm glad I've gone back to watch. I would have probably never watched this again in my life, Chris. Like I say, out of the... I kind of forget about this one as being another one that Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner did. And I think about the other two, is it The Jewel in an Island, Romance in the Stone? You know, those are the two that I think about. But yeah, really glad I've gone and seen it. And yeah, middle of the road. But then if you have or having any kind of marriage troubles, probably watch this movie. And then, you know, maybe that would do better than any kind of counselling session.
Yes, so the marriage counselling movie we never thought we needed, Dave. But there you go, War of the Roses, as recommended by Mr. Dave Horrocks. So, Dave, what have we got for next week, my friend?
Well, Chris, I mean, we both said a little bit serious this week, which is not really us. But next week, we have a pick from Spider-Den. Now, Spider-Den... Let's look back. Some of our previous picks, now a fantastic supporter, and get over to Spider-Dan and the Secret Boars as well. There's a load of off-the-wall kind of movie reviews that, you know, you're not going to find your Russell Crowe Gladiator there as such, you know, but you'll find a few different picks. And Chris, Dan has picked for us a martial arts movie that goes back to 1977, so the pinnacle of that kind of Hong Kong cinema, and picked The Dragon Lives Again. Now let's get into the trailer.
I like the music. Yeah. Bruce Lee dies.
C'est ainsi que tu me surnommes. Tu crois bien sûr me connaître mieux que personne. Marie Colère existe aussi, fais bien attention.
Bruce Lee fights Dracula. Bruce Lee fights Clint Eastwood. Bruce Lee, I have no idea who that is. He fights the Godfather.
The Godfather? Oh my God. What is this?
He fights 007.
It's not for your height only, is it? Is he going to pop up?
But it's Emmanuel.
Emmanuel? Oh, Emmanuel, yeah. Oh, hang on a minute. What's this? I've watched many of the old Emmanuel. Obviously, he's not alone.
It's fucking Popo.
Popeye, yeah? It's a little Popeye. Oh my God. Bruce Lee together at last. Bruce Lee and Popeye. Where is Spider-Man pulled this shit from? This is going to be amazing. That looked amazing.
I think he's done it again, hasn't he? Yeah, I mean, that looks absolutely bonkers. And I'm baffled why anyone would make that. But it does look like, you know, when you're having a few beers with mates and you're just chatting shit, you know, thinking about, oh, if Bruce Lee went to hell and fought, you know, James Bond or something. It's just absolute bonkers. Chris, I cannot wait to watch this one.
Oh my god, yeah, I think it's on YouTube as well, the whole movie, so it's accessible for everyone, Dave, so get on it, guys, before we do the review. Oh my god, that looks glorious. We haven't done one for ages. I've got to pull a martial arts one out again, and we've not done one for ages. That's just proper got me going again. And you did mention the L word, Dave, so maybe I'll look in Mr. Avedon's back catalogue for my next pick. Let's see. But no, massive thank you to everyone as always. Big thanks to Helen for picking this one. Absolute classic bit of chat today, and I loved just talking, a bit more serious, but I just love talking about all this and breaking it down. So thanks, Helen. If you do want to support us, get over to patreon.com/thevhsstrikesback. If you want to email us, thevhsstrikesback@gmail.com. And as always, please get onto all social media at @vhsstrikesback and give us a follow. So, the roll call of honour, and a big thank you and welcome to our newest Patreon. It's Lee. So we'll be in touch, Lee, about what movie we're going to pick, my friend. So he's coming as a Top Gun, Dave. So welcome, Lee.
Nice.
And then from there, we will do the roll call of honour. So we have two Lees in a row. So we have the new Lee, Dave. We have Lee the Magician, who I do like following on social media and doing all his magic. And Helen, Dylan, Stephen, Trent, Dan, Justin, Susan, Timothy, Matt, Heath, Kent, Lucky Lulu Green, Herb Jacks, Math, Blake, and Mr. John Hammond. Oh, and Mr. Tony Farina. Can't forget Mr. Tony Farina, Dave. Big thank you to everyone who supports us. We really appreciate you guys. So, Dave, what are you going to take us out with today?
I fucking knew you were going to say that. So I was feverishly looking through for some quotes. Well, Chris, let me be smutty, I guess. So there is a moment that is very uncomfortable, I would say, up in the attic, where it gets a tad rapey, and
yep,
Barbara sort of goes down on him and gives him a good old fucking bite and says, "Was it as good for you as it was for me?" That's the best I could come up with, Chris. So thank you very much, sir. Thanks to all our listeners out there. Thanks to our supporters. And we'll speak to you next time.
Bye.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we going to do now?
What are we going to do?
Maybe we could build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I'll be back.
That's right.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Wax on, wax off.
Ah! Ah! Get to the chopper!
One ring to go.
All right.
Ding, ding.
Bust you up.
Go for it.
Well, here we go.
Ain't so bad, ain't so bad. Come on, ain't so bad. Ain't
nothing. You must be crazy or something.
I'm crazy.
You're just a stupid fool.
Yeah, maybe you're stupid.
You're crazy.
Ain't breathing heavy.
He's a fool. He's stupid.
I've seen you in 6 months.